Again, it's a privilege to be up here this morning and to present to us and to teach us a bit about how what God has laid on my heart over the past few months of where He may be leading us into 2018 and beyond. And today is very much all about that. What can we put in place today in order to grow and flourish into the future? And I think this is an important way of doing church and ministries to seek God out for what theme He may be carrying us forward to into a new year. And that's what we come to again today, to share vision and impart vision and hope for the future ministry of our church. So again, let me just spend time thanking God, praising God for the word that He's about to speak through me this morning as we come to His word. Again, Lord, we come before You. We thank You for the honor and the privilege it is to know You, to have a relationship with You. And Lord, I know what You've placed in my heart and what we've discussed on a leadership level as well. But Lord, I just ultimately pray that the words I prepared today would be Your will for this church, that You would speak in and through me in this time. And I pray, Father, that as a church collectively this morning, that we could get on board with this vision, on board with this purpose that You've placed on our hearts this morning, I believe. Working through this time, and we ask, Lord, that ultimately that we would become a church that desires to honour You and worship You in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, I wonder if you have done anything as a child towards your brother or your sister or somebody else, and you've hurt them. And to get out of trouble, you've said, but I didn't mean it. I didn't do it on purpose. Can we relate to that?
Amen.
Amen. I know Kel isn't a huge fan of it when I forget to put the bins out, or I rumble with Malachi and hurt him. She's not a huge fan of it when I say, but I didn't mean it. I didn't do it on purpose. I accidentally hurt Malachi yesterday. Same thing. I didn't do it on purpose, Kel. I find there's something within us that if we can prove that, if we can prove that we didn't mean it, or that we didn't do it on purpose, we can get off the hook. I didn't mean to steal from the government by not paying my taxes. I didn't mean to lie. I didn't mean to slander that person's name behind their backs. I didn't mean it. I didn't do it on purpose. Well, we're in a new year. Again, as I've been saying, we've been going through our service, a new year of ministry awaits, and it's exciting. I'm excited for what God has in store for us this year. It's often been said, everyone ends up somewhere. Few people end up somewhere on purpose. The question is this morning, where will you and I, in 2018, individually and collectively as a church, where will you and I end up on purpose this year, in 2018? There's this great portion of wisdom in Proverbs 29:18, which says, where there is no vision, the people will perish. It sounds harsh, but it's true. Where there is no vision, the people will perish. That's exactly what happened to the nation of Israel as they took the journey from Egypt, captivity, towards the promised land. Because of their unbelief and their constant grumbling, God sent them into the wilderness. And in the books of Exodus and Joshua, we read how the nation of Israel, again, was sent into the wilderness because of this reality. Deuteronomy 1:2 tells us that it should have taken only 11 days for the nation of Israel to enter the border of the promised land from where they were stationed in Horeb. 11 days. But the text tells us that it took them 40 years to make the journey. The reason for this is quite simple. They had no vision, no direction of God, from God as to where to go next. No vision and direction, and therefore no purpose in their travels. It's quite clear that if the church has no vision, if there is no clear direction as to where it is going, then it'll just wander aimlessly through the wilderness. The church requires vision and direction if it is to live out its mission and purpose effectively in this world. Amen? Amen. And towards the end of last year, I was seeking God. I was praying in my quiet time. I go down to Sandringham, just on the Kista Barista there at the beach, and I was spending time in prayer. And I was asking and seeking him out as to what 2018 may look like for San Susie Baptist Church. What does he want us to put in place in order for us to continue to grow and flourish as we are called to do? It was not long after that time of prayer that I was preparing for our series, The Great Invitation. And I was preparing our message on Isaiah 55, 10 to 11. And that passage is all about God's Word. And how God's Word was sent for a purpose. And it goes on to say that, effectively, that purpose has been achieved, as we know through Scripture, through Jesus Christ, God's Word incarnate. But it was this word purpose that just stood out to me, jumped out of the page, purpose. And as I continued to pray into it, as I continued to read through Scripture, I realized that purpose is part of God's DNA. The more and more I read, the more God showed me this key attribute of his character. Take a look at these passages, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now the one, 2 Corinthians 5:5, now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Hebrews 6:17, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear. I could keep going on and on. I think we get the point. God is a God of purpose. He doesn't do things for the sake of doing it. He does it with purpose, intentionality, and strategy. There's no plan B with God. Plan A works every single time.
Hallelujah.
Everything he does has purpose and strategy behind it. Which begs the question, if God is a God of purpose, what about his followers? Do you and I have purpose, intentionality, and strategy within our DNA, within our lives? Do we as a church have purpose, intentionality in our ministry settings, in the way we do ministry? It was through this that I believe that God was revealing to me the importance of Christ Church being going forward with purpose, being purpose-driven in all that they say and all that they do. And as I brought this to the leadership, we prayed through it, we discussed it, and it was clear that God, I believe, was calling us to a sense of purpose in 2018. Hence the theme being 2018 on purpose. Once again, where will you and I end up at the end of 2018 on purpose? For us, one of the glaring things, again, that came out of our National Church Life Survey results in 2011 and the recent ones that we looked at last year, was that there was this general feeling that our church lacked a clear direction and a clear sense of purpose and vision. And there's many reasons for this. Evidently, over the last few years, San Susie Baptist Church has been a church of transition. That's evident. Peter and Jenny finished up and Brian stepped in. This last few years has been a period of transition. Even last year, you guys getting used to me, I getting used to you in this context, getting used to one another. It was a year of transition. But as we move forward into the future, it's clear that vision is important. Purpose is important because it sets a direction for the ministry and mission of the church. Without it, we are no different to the Israelites, wandering in the wilderness, uncertain of where to go or what to do next. In my studies, in my readings, even in my own experiences of church and ministry, I've come to realize that the churches that are healthy, the churches that actually grow and flourish as God has called them to, are those that are purpose-driven. They grow because these churches, they understand where they are heading. They understand their mission and their ultimate purpose in what God is calling them to say and do. And that is ultimately the task I believe God is calling each and every one of us to this year. To reclaim that sense of purpose and direction for our lives and for our church. To rediscover a sense of vision in order to grow and flourish into the future. 2018 on purpose. Again, the churches that are most healthy are healthy because they have a clear-cut identity. They know why they exist. They know what God has called them to. And I think the same is true of our individual lives, is it not? When I reflect on my own life, the times where I've been so empty and just lacking any motivation or excitement are the times I've had no clear direction or purpose in my life. Can we relate to that? Purpose is part of our DNA. It's part of the way God has created us. And let me tell you, each and every one of you here this morning, you're not here by an accident. Even if your parents said, oh, you're an accident. It doesn't matter if that was the case for them, not for God. Each and every one of us here this morning, you are born, you are alive for a purpose. This year is all about discovering that for ourselves and for our church. And it's all about putting things in place in order that we continue to grow to become a healthy church, a functioning church, a fit church, not an overweight, sluggish church. The kind of church that God wants to be proud, that God is proud of, is those that are healthy and functioning as they ought to. And to help us do that this year, I felt led, I believe by the Spirit, to utilize a tool, a book called The Purpose-Driven Church, a book written by a pastor that we all may well have heard of, Rick Warren. And this book is basically what Rick Warren has written down from his own experiences. Last week we looked at imitating Christ. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. This is pretty much, if I was to summarize this book, what Rick Warren has done. Understanding what Christ has called him to and the church, Saddleback Church, which he leads, and then putting that down on paper for the world to read and to understand. Again, when I was praying into this idea of purpose, I was just thinking about tools, resources that we could utilize, and I thought of Purpose-Driven Life, which some of you may have read before by Rick Warren. As I dived deeper into it, I stumbled across this book, and as I read it, I was like, this is awesome. This is great. This is the stuff that I believe that we can utilize and learn from and grow from. And Rick Warren himself, he says he writes this book primarily for pastors and leaders. But my conviction here this morning is that each and every one of us is a leader. If you have been called by Christ, if you've repented and you put your faith in him, if you've been regenerated, then you are a leader. You're a leader of men. We are all called to lead people to Christ. Influence people for the gospel. Yes, some people are called to higher levels of leadership than others, but I believe, and it's my conviction, that we are all leaders, and that's why I believe that this book will be something that we can utilize to ensure that we become a purpose-driven church. Again, these methods and these processes, we can't copy. Every church is unique, but we can take the key principles of what he teaches and seek to implement them into our church setting as God leads us. On page 81, he says, Rick Warren says in his book, nothing precedes purpose. The starting point for every church should be the question, why do we exist? Why do we exist? Why has God planted us here? Why are you in this setting? Until you know what your church exists for, you have no foundation. No motivation, no direction for ministry. Again, I can relate that to my own life. When I haven't known my identity or clearly understood why I existed, I had no foundation for life, nothing to motivate me to go forward in faith. Again, why do we exist? What do we want? Why do we do what we do? What is the purpose? Are we doing ministry just because it's always the way we've done it? It's all we know? Or is there another way that we can do ministry so it's more effective in bringing people into the kingdom of God? And I think this is something that the church has, on a whole, seems to miss sometimes. Yes, it has a general understanding of what it is called to do, but when it comes to putting strategy and purpose in place to ensure that that mission is effective, I think that's where we miss the mark sometimes. Again, when we turn our attention to Jesus, he did it. He lived the purpose-driven life. The miracles that Jesus performed, did you realize that those miracles weren't done for the sake of them? There was purpose and conviction in every single one of those miracles. When he healed people, Again, he just didn't do it for the sake of it. There was a purpose behind it. That purpose was to show that he was sovereign over sickness. When he calmed the wind and the waves and did these amazing miracles in creation, he didn't do it just because they asked him to. He did it to prove that he was sovereign and powerful over the created order. When he raised people from the dead, Lazarus, he did it not just because he was a friend of Lazarus, but to prove that he was sovereign and powerful over death. Jesus lived his life on purpose. Another affirmation that he truly was the Son of God, God incarnate. And the reason for that is because he knew why he was sent. And because of that, he had a clear sense of purpose and direction in his life. And the question then becomes for us again, if this is the case, if Christ knew why he was sent, do we know why we have been sent? Do we know why the church exists? Well, that's the journey that we're going to start to uncover over the coming weeks. Rick Warren again says in his book, nothing discourages a church more than not knowing why it exists. On the other hand, the quickest way to reinvigorate a plateaued or declining church is to reclaim God's purpose for it and to help the members understand the great tasks the church has been given by Christ. Again, this is the first cog in the wheel. The first process for this year is for us to rediscover why the church exists, what Christ has called and commissioned his church to do. There are two passages where we can see the key purposes of the church. One is Matthew 22, 36 and 40. A teacher in the law, he asked Jesus this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replies, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second like this, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." The law and the Christian life can be summarized quite simply as love God, love others. That's how we are effectively called to live. The church as a whole, before Christ returned to his heavenly Father, he commissioned it with these words in Matthew 28, 18 and 20. "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." These are the two passages that we can clearly articulate a sense of purpose for Christ's church. And Rick Warren again does a great job of summarizing them for us. The first is this: we exist to become stronger through worship. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength and mind. The second, broader through ministry. Love your neighbor as yourself. Third of all, we exist to become larger through evangelism. Go for and make disciples of all nations. Next of all, warmer through fellowship, baptizing them, identification with the Christian community, and finally, deeper through discipleship, teaching them to obey all that I command you. These are the five purposes of Christ Church. This is why we exist. And over the coming weeks, we're going to dive deep into them. Dive into the depths of these purposes to understand what that looks like for San Susie Baptist Church to be stronger through worship, to become broader through ministry, to become larger through evangelism. What does that look like for us in our context, in our community? How do we go about that? What purpose and strategy can we put in place to see this happen? That's what we're going to dive into. The first 2 weeks I'm going to cover. On the third week, we have Belinda Lakeland coming. She's the evangelism consultant with the Baptist Association. And she's going to come and share about how we can bring purpose to the way we do evangelism. Really excited by that. And hopefully I get a chance to hear her. Warmer through fellowship. Good friend of mine and an amazingly gifted person in terms of coming alongside people and loving them is a guy called Anthony Edwards. And he's a counsellor, youth and families counsellor. He's got pastoral experience with Nawi Baptist Church and also Karimbar Baptist Church. He's going to come and share how we can become warmer through fellowship. The practical tools, how we do that. And finally, we'll finish with deeper through discipleship. These are the five purposes of the church. The first cog in the wheel, if you were, for us to rediscover, to reclaim that sense of purpose for our church. and to understand what a purpose-driven life looks like. The next is to then reclaim, I believe, and rediscover a unique sense of purpose and vision for our unique context here at San Susie Baptist Church. On page 81, Rick Warren says, "Forget everything else until you have established a wider purpose. Recapture a clear vision of what God wants to do in and through your church's family, your church family. Nothing will revitalize a discouraged church faster than rediscovering its purpose." And that's not to say we're a discouraged church. I don't believe that. Maybe 10, 15 years ago, this church was. But today, there's room for potential. There's room for growth. And I think it comes down to, first and foremost, rediscovering that clear sense of purpose for San Susie Baptist Church. Every church is unique. Every church is gifted and wired in a certain way. That's why you can have 5 and 6 different churches in the same street. Have you realized that? San Susie Baptist Church is here. A few hundred metres down the road, there's San Susie Anglican, Ramsgate Community Church up the road. In Caringbah, there is literally 5 or 6 churches in the same vicinity near each other. How is that possible? And all of those churches are healthy and functioning. It's because they're all resourced uniquely different. They're all gifted uniquely different. Our mission is obviously all the same, but the way we go about achieving that mission, that's the difference. That's the game changer, I believe. Obviously, as you probably realise by now, from my own background, my own personal testimony and story, I am able to observe life and the gospel through the lens of sport. That's the gift I believe God's given me to help me understand again life and the gospel. And I think sport is what the Apostle Paul, he saw the value of viewing life through the sporting lens. That's why he has so many sporting analogies in his epistles. But whenever I played a team sport, whether that be basketball or soccer or something else, the first mandate, the first task for the coach was to provide our team with a sense of purpose and vision for the way he wanted us to play or she wanted us to play the game. You may be able to relate that to your own experience. The first task of the coach was to provide a team with a vision of how he or she wanted to play the game. At the highest of levels, it would be frowned upon for a coach to not instill within their team a way of playing the game, to send his or her team out to play the game without providing any vision of the kind of basketball or the kind of football that he or she desired them to play. Once again, both teams, when they enter that court or enter that field, they play in the same sport, aren't they? But their focus within that sport, it changes depending on what vision or what purpose they've been given to play the game. And for me, in my experience, it's the same for the church. Our desire, and I believe what God is laying on each and every one of us this morning, is to ascertain and discern the way God wants us, San Susie Baptist Church, to play the game. The way he's desiring us to do ministry. Again, what does it look like for San Susie Baptist Church to evangelize in our community? What does it look like to disciple within the context of our community? He's calling us, I believe, to discover this wider purpose for our church so that in everything we do, it is undertaken through the lens of a clearly defined sense of purpose. And it's important that continues to evolve and change over time. Again, why do you think so many of my generation, they change jobs and this and that? It's because they get sluggish, I guess. Lack of motivation when you're doing things for the same amount of time. You need reinvigoration and vision and direction. And so therefore, I believe up to those who are called leaders within our church, those who may be a little bit wiser in the faith, to come alongside and coach and disciple and help us, the wider church, understand the postures we are to take as Christ Church. Rick Warren, as we come to a close, 5 reasons for a clearly defined sense of purpose. He says these are the benefits of that. First of all, it builds morale. We're encouraged when we know our direction. We know our sense of vision for the future. Second, it reduces frustration. Third of all, it allows concentration. Fourth, it attracts cooperation. How important is that? That we are all working in it together. Fifth of all, is SIST's evaluation. Accountable to what we're doing. Is this working? Maybe we can do it another way. Maybe we realign our postures to the ways to try and reach our community. A clear purpose not only defines what we do, it also defines what we do not do. It's all about prioritizing what God is, what we have given as gifts and resources. We focus on them. We prioritize them in order to reach our community for Christ. And obviously build one another up in the faith as well. This is very much what this year is all about. As a church, in unity, collectively, coming to understand and discern the vision that he has set aside for us. The direction he wants us to take so that we're not wandering aimlessly in the wilderness. Why do we exist? Why has God not let this church fallen over when it probably should have all those years ago? Why has he remained faithful to this church? You want to know why? Because he has a purpose for us. Do we believe that?
Amen.
I believe that. That's why I came here, ultimately. Because I believe in this church. I believe in all of you. And our job, I believe, this year to discover, by listening to the Spirit, I can't articulate how important that is, through prayer and petition, waiting on God, hearing his voice. That's again what the Israelites did not do. They just grumbled and they went ahead. What happened? Lacked direction, lacked vision. Where did that end up? How did that end up for? Whole generation wiped out because of their lack of obedience and willingness to wait on God. That's the first priority. Come and wait on God. Discover how he has uniquely gifted us. He has resourced us. What dreams and ministries has he laid on our hearts? What are we passionate about in order to live out and fulfill these purposes of the church? Ultimately, a clear sense of direction and purpose will allow us to implement those dreams and ministries that God has laid on our hearts. Well, these are the questions that we're going to be asking God and each other, and it starts again next week as we journey through the five purposes of the church. First of all, identifying why we exist. What does it look like to live a purpose-driven life? And from there, we will take some time as a church to identify that unique sense of calling and purpose for our church. And over the next few weeks, we'll outline the process as to what that exactly looks like. And as God reveals this to us, my prayer is that this will ensure our ministry and our mission as a church is as effective as it possibly can be. And that we are growing to become the church that Christ has called us to be. Last year was all about forward together by faith. Celebrating the past, learning from it, but looking forward in faith to what God is calling to us in this moment now. I believe we did that to an extent, absolutely. And as I said last year, that continues. Our whole life, faith moves us forward. We always look towards God is calling us here and now. This year is all about continuing that forward progression, forward together by faith with purpose. 2018 on purpose. Again, where will you and I be at the end of this year? That's what we're asking. I look forward to seeing what God may reveal to us as we seek that out. Well, it's one thing for me to stand here and just to share what God's laid in my heart through the leadership, and it's another thing for all of us to be on board with it. And I want to encourage you, as I said, we are all leaders. We all hear from God. It's the beauty of our denomination. As Baptists, we believe that. The priesthood of all believers. Everyone can hear from God. Everyone can have input into our church. So in this moment now, I just want us to spend some time just waiting on God. Praying with the person next to you or the people next to you. You may want to pray by yourself. For our church, just to pray into this vision. What this may look like for us 2018 on purpose. My prayer that it would be affirmed in each and every one of your hearts that this is the direction that God is calling us to do. To implement strategy and purpose in our ministry setting here at St. Susie Baptist Church. So I encourage us to pray where you are with the person next to you. Pray for our church. Pray for this theme this year. And pray that we will come to discover that wider purpose for St. Susie Baptist Church. And then we'll come around the communion table together. Thank you.